Please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. We have experienced in the past few weeks that even the sins of Israel, as recorded in the prophecy of Numbers, is beneficial for our edification. So, please, open your Bibles again to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these many of them God was not well pleased. Now, these things were our example, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmur, and were destroyed of the destroyer. What is the event mentioned in verse 10? For this, we have to turn to number 16. So please, turn your Bible to the prophecy of Numbers, number 16, verse 1. Korah was a direct cousin of Moses and Aaron. So we read in 1 Chronicles, chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. One of the sons of Levi was Kohath. The sons of Kohath were Amram and Ishar. The sons of Amram were Aaron and Moses, and one of the sons of Ishar was Korah. But Korah was envious of the position of honor that Moses and Aaron held. He coveted to be a priest also, but God has not appointed him to be a priest. So we read in Numbers chapter 16, verses 1 through 11. Now Korah, the son of Ishar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eli, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. That was a lie. Wherefore, then lift ye up yourself about the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face, and he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show you who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do. Take you censers, Korah and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you, that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel, to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord. and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. And he has brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also, for which cause both you and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? So please, drop down to Numbers 16, verses 23 to 35. Numbers 16, 23 to 35. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram, on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out, and stood in the door of their tents, and their wife and their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up, with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pits, then ye shall understand that this man hath provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertain unto Korah, and all their goods. They, and all that appertain to them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up. And there came out a fire from the Lord, and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Was he usurping authority? What do we learn from the first half of Numbers 16? We read in verse 7 that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. God is sovereign. He sets apart and he bestows his favors on whom he has chosen. Please put a second sticker here in number 16 and turn your Bible to the Epistle to the Romans. Romans chapter 13 verse 1. Moses was chosen as a prophet, and Aaron was appointed by God to be the high priest. Korah was not appointed to be priest. He was not allowed to take what was not given him. That is usurping authority. We must honor those whom God has placed in authority over us, regardless whether they deserve it or not. For example, we read in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisted the power, resisted the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. So therefore we read in Proverbs chapter 13 verse 10. Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. Korah was proud to be a Levite, and Korah considered himself as being better qualified for the function of high priest than Aaron. Korah wanted to usurp authority that was not his. Korah wanted to rule in the congregation as a priest and swing his weight around as a high priest. He wanted to sit in the center of the congregation as someone appointed by God. 3,500 years ago, Korah did not succeed because the time was not ripe. The iniquity of the Amorite was not yet full, but his desire to sit in the congregation as one appointed by God, and his ingratitude to God, who has given him a knowledge of the Bible, and his success in getting most of the nation of Israel rallied behind him, and the violent judgment of God on him and his entire family, left us a picture of events that shall come to pass in the end of time. Who does Korah reminds us? He reminds us of the son of perdition. Who is the son of perdition? No, we don't mean Judas Iscariot, but Antichrist. Please turn in your Bible to the second epistle to the Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 3. God speaks here about a worldwide phenomenon. It is the great apostasy, or the great falling away of the church. Presently, we're seeing this great falling away, and churches are falling away like dominoes, because most of them belong to the denomination, and the denominational headquarters are determining what each of their churches must believe and must follow. So then we read on 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 to 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 to 12. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, the son of hell, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know that withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, literally, until he comes out of the midst. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Antichrist is a Satan in human flesh. He is just imitating Christ, who is the incarnation of God the Son. But Satan, however, is not omnipresent, and thus he can indwell only one person at a time. But Satan has many demons who will fill in him for him in a very intelligent manner. Please turn now to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the minister of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. And this is how Antichrist managed to get the chief position in the church, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God. So when we read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, we should always remember that this is a faulty translation. The personal pronoun he is not in the original Greek text. In other words, the interpretation that the Holy Spirit will be taken out of the way is from the imagination of one man's mind. The second half of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7 literally reads, until it comes out of the mist. What comes out of the mist? The mystery of iniquity comes out of the midst of the congregation. They shall believe the lie, and that's in verse 11, because it is preached by one of their own people, one who came out of the midst of them. And what is that lie? It is related to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 9. Look here at verse 9. It is the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Signs and lying wonders are the signs of the charismatic movement, which is a religion that believes that God is still bringing divine message today in dreams and visions and angel visitation and tongues, especially tongues. That is the big lie which is mentioned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 11. And because these congregations are not saved, God shall send them a strong delusion. What is this delusion so strong? When people have imagined that God, the Holy Spirit, has spoken to them to bring a message in a strange tongue, it is such an exciting phenomenon that they will believe anything just to keep this exciting experience and to continue to practice it. Just imagine, God is speaking through me, and why does Antichrist come into the church? He wants to keep people away from the true gospel of Christ. Please, open your Bible to Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. Revelation 17, 1 through 5. And the word of God read like this. And there came one of the seven angels. We had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come higher. I will show you unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. What do we really see here? We see that the world has moved into the church, and the church has moved into the world. That is why the church is called Babylon, named after the power that has taken over the church. And that is why she's called the mother of harlots, because she has invited the false gospels of the world to come into the church. Do we presently see this come to pass worldwide? Indeed we do. Satan wants to establish a worldwide kingdom over, which he rules supreme, and thus he uses Antichrist to achieve that goal. But it is a kingdom without Christ and without his atoning sacrifice. In that kingdom, man must have dominion over all things. In that kingdom, they speak of righteousness and brotherly love, but they extend their brotherly love to include fornicators and homosexuals. They demand outward righteousness, and they insist on brotherly love. They strive to realize the universal brotherhood of man, and they want to establish universal peace. They want to abolish sin in the world. The result is that their kingdom is, after all, no kingdom of God, but a kingdom of man, by man and only for man. To accomplish this goal, the state must legislate men into his kingdom, and by force of law, they are made to practice their law to the brothers. The state, in combination with other states, will enforce universal peace. All the nations must conform to this rule in order that war may be abolished and the kingdom of peace may be ushered in. The cooperation of the church is also invited. The church now must preach a social gospel. The old message of sin and guilt, of total depravity, of righteousness and holiness, and of the necessity of atonement through the blood of Christ, and of regeneration by the Spirit of Christ, has become antiquated and must be adapted to the needs of the present time. But the principal motive is enmity against God and against his Christ. This is the influence of Antichrist on the people of the world. So the whole world rallies behind the beast and the false prophet of Revelation 13. And the world is prepared for its final intervention by God. Forget about the one world government by one country and by one ruler. That is an invention of man. And it is under his control. The harlot Babylon does not represent one church or one denomination, but many denominations, as long as they are following the social gospel of Antichrist. But when the world will have united under Satan, then that period of world peace will be the most dangerous period of history for the Church of God in the world. Please, open your Bible to Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Genesis 3, 17 through 19. God has sent wars and pestilences and death into this world. Wars and revolution, famines and pestilences and death cannot endure the kingdom of God. For the simple reason that as love, that it existed purely as spirit. And thus we see how all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Therefore God says to us, be not afraid therefore, ye people of the kingdom. Let us now return to number 16. Please turn to the prophecy of number 16, verse 41. Who are the murmurers? We read in Numbers 16, verses 41 through 50. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared, and Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces, and Moses said unto Aaron, Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath coming out from the Lord. The plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense, and made an atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that die about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. This is absolutely amazing. These people witnessed the wrath of God on Korah and upon all those who were ganging up against Moses and Aaron. And God clearly showed that his anger rests upon those who are against Moses and Aaron. And yet, one day later, they murmur again against Moses and Aaron. And look who's doing it. God says in verse 41, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmur against Moses and against Aaron. Their rebellion could not be worse. It is no wonder that God intended to destroy them. And notice that God speaks in verse 46 and 47 about making an atonement for these people who were about to be destroyed by God. These are two issues that must be resolved. So please turn in your Bible to the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 13, verse 6. Now, let us apply this second part of number 16 to the end time events, like we did with Korah's rebellion. Who do these murmurs represent? These murmurs represent all those who are worshipping Antichrist. In Revelation 13, God made Antichrist appear symbolically as the beast that comes up out of the sea of mankind, and as the false prophet that came up out of the earth. Both the beast and the false prophet work together to make sure that the church and the world are cooperating, working toward the same goal. So we read in Revelation chapter 13, verses 6 through 8. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him made war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Who are following and worshipping Antichrist? This passage says, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, except, of course, the remnant chosen by grace from before the foundation of the world. And thus, who do the murmurs of number 16 represent? They represent the whole world minus the remnant. All kindreds and tongues and nations shall follow Antichrist. And what was so special about the atonement that Aaron made? First of all, who is able to make an atonement? We read in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 12. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once in the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. In what function did Christ make atonement for us? as prophet or as a priest or as a king. He made atonement for us, our great high priest. Part of the priestly office is to bring prayers on behalf of other people and to make atonement on behalf of other people. And thus, while Moses and Aaron were on the ground beseeching God that he may have mercy on this congregation, Moses told Aaron to make atonement for the people. For Aaron, as the high priest, was able to make atonement for them. So Aaron put fire and incense on the censer, representing the prayers of the saints. So we read in Revelation chapter 8, verse 3, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Please, turn again to the first epistle to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. We should not lose track of where we were in the beginning of the sermon. We read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmur, and were destroyed of the destroyer. We have looked at those who murmur in two ways. Judgment day for Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and the 250 princes of the congregation. And we look at those who murmur the day after. But now the question comes up. Who is the destroyer? Please turn again to the prophecy of Numbers. Numbers chapter 16, verse 35. We have learned that Satan is called the destroyer. His goal is always to destroy the works of God. But let us now read carefully what the Word of God says. So we read in Numbers chapter 16, verse 35. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. This was a fire from the Lord. Also in verse 30, we read that the Lord made a new thing, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up. And again in verse 46, we read that there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. All three times we read that the Lord has done it. Not Satan, but God is the destroyer. And now we remember that God has said this more often in the Bible. He's the destroyer of all the unsaved. God says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 8, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the words here. God is taking vengeance on them that know not God and that not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does this really mean? It means that they who believe not the gospel that Paul preached feel like a flame of fire, for our God is actually a consuming fire. So please, turn to Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. Revelation 20, verse 7. When we see Korah as representing Antichrist, because he sought to usurp a central position in the church, or we see the murmurers on the side of Korah in great number following Antichrist, it would be good to remember that all these pictures are pictures of the last battle. Also, we should remember that there is only one last battle, and thus, whether at the last battle the enemies of Christ are swallowed up in the earth, or they are struck down by fire from the Lord out of heaven, or they are eaten alive by very quick flesh, eating bacteria like the murmurers have felt. These are all symbols of God's wrath at the end of time. A vivid illustration is given in Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 through 9. And when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, God and my God, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. What do we learn from this description of the last battle? We learn that God will never abandon his saints. Please turn to the epistle of Jude chapter 4, which comes just before Revelation. God is not surprised by this last battle, for he caused it to come to pass. We can ask the question, was the Song of Perdition appointed to this dreadful act of rebellion? Was he appointed to this condemnation like 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 8? We read in Jude 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of all ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, to know God is to know that God endured with much long suffering this vessel of wrath, who were fitted to destruction. God knew this vessel of wrath from before the foundation of the world. To deny that God knew them is to deny God's omniscience and to deny God's wisdom when he created the world and all the universe. When we claim to know who God is, we must also include all these verses to our understanding. And then we can truly glorify our Creator, who knows the end from the beginning, and who choose us to be among the remnant saved by grace. We are the elect children of God, the bride of Christ, who will glorify him, and we will also be to his glory. This is a guarantee. Amen. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our merciful God and Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this, your church, where we can come and exalt and praise your name. We pray that you will let this church be a strong voice crying in the wilderness of this world. We pray that you will help us to reach many in this world through the CD ministry and also through the internet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.